Recording is really.
Like that.
The board is back from executive session at 11:27 a.m. on Tuesday, April 23rd. Dr. Bastillo will do a roll call to ensure everybody has returned. Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Dr. King?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
And staff members, Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Bryant?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Ms. Sinish?
Here.
My name is Judy Chepius, and we are also joined with Mark Harris, Assistant Attorney General. All are present. Dr. Bastillo, meeting's yours.
Okay, so we're discussing case 2389, Michael Webster. Judy, can you give us a brief review as to?
Yes, the board heard the case 2389, Michael Webster, PT, for an initial review at its March meeting on March 26th. At that time, the board voted to offer a consent agreement for 12 months of probation and intensive professional boundaries coursework. While drafting that consent agreement, there were staff noticed inconsistencies with this case in terms of what was decided upon as findings of fact, conclusions of law, and the order with other cases of a similar nature. In attempting to clarify that the matter is brought back to the board for additional review to identify any potential mitigating circumstances that should be added to the findings of fact, any additional changes or terms to the order that were provided, or to take no additional action. So this matter is for your review at this time.
Great, thank you. Ms. Batane, I know that you're here representing Mr. Webster. Is there anything that you'd like to say at this time before we begin discussion?
No, I don't have anything to add. I don't know exactly what the specifics were that arose when the agreement was being drafted, but if there's new information or anything that we can address once I get more specifics, we're happy to do that. But at this point, nothing to add.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. So I'm going to ask you, Dr. King, I know you had some potential concerns, and so.
Yes, I did. You know, we read the investigative reports and all of the additional documents submitted. I want to make sure that we discussed mitigating circumstances such as his mental health, and we don't have an evaluation. We only have a summary of like one paragraph summary from a mental health provider that he reports that he's doing well. No evaluation, no objective information. You know, he was suicidal just 6 months ago, and ready for a gun, and consuming a bottle of wine a night, and was using other medications to self-medicate. And so I was just concerned that did we really do due diligence, that he is fit for duty, in providing care to patients. So some of the mitigating circumstances really have to do then not just necessarily with this decision, that he, had sexual misconduct with a patient, but that he continued to practice that whole time when he was clearly so unhealthy, that does he have the insight to know when he's not a healthy practitioner? And so I would just want to bring those things up that I'm not sure he does. And I'm actually very disappointed in his employer for allowing him to continue to practice in such an unhealthy way. I found a note from his employer in his file that said when he's healthy, he should be encouraged. When he's healthier, he should be encouraged to self-report. What is that? you know? So I think there's a bigger picture here than this one isolated event. And in order to help protect our public and support him as a practitioner, I think we need to do more for him.
Right. This is Mr. Greer. I remember this case. I don't know if I remember it well enough to recall the exact mitigating circumstances we considered last month. But I do remember there being mitigating circumstances, and I remember feeling that this was the appropriate discipline for this licensee in this case. Mm-hmm. And what I would suggest is that we review the audio from last month's meeting so we can articulate exactly the rationale behind this decision. I think we were correct. I just can't articulate the exact reason why we were correct as I sit here right now.
I think that's a good idea, and then re-review the investigative report, because I don't think we were correct in providing enough or guidance for him and to protect the public. So I think it's a great idea. So are you suggesting that we table this until we have an opportunity to do a little deeper dive? Is that what you're thinking?
That would be my that'd be my suggestion.
I would be inclined to agree. You know, my recollection is that there were mitigating circumstances. Ms. Patan, I don't know if you recall what those circumstances were, but the difficulty I'm having is that I just am having a hard time recalling what those mitigating circumstances were. And so, you know, for that purpose, I think if we're going to table it and review the records, I think that's what I need to do.
Josh, you froze. I don't know if he can still hear us or not. He's probably continuing his thought process.
This discussion.
we call that monologuing.
I don't know if he's trying to rejoin. Yes.
Well, I do feel like we did, I remember some of the mitigating circumstances, maybe not all of them, but I do feel if there's additional things that we should have taken into consideration, it can certainly take another look-see and be as thorough as possible.
Mr. Barton is back and appears to be unfrozen now. There he is.
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened to my discussion, but I guess, did we lose me? I'm curious about mitigating circumstances. I remember them being there. I don't remember specifically what they were.
Yeah, and I don't remember that we actually articulated them. And so I think people considered different things, and we came up with the motion, but I really don't believe that they were articulated as well as they could have been. So looking at it again may be the best option.
So would this be agendized potentially as a continuation of an initial review? I'm not sure.
Mr. Harris.
Yeah, that's probably something that we can staff between meetings, how to put it on the agenda with the understanding that the direction the board has just given us.
I guess the other, if we're going to continue it to Ms. Patain, is there additional mitigation evidence that you believe your client could provide, or to be helpful to have it agendized to allow you to provide that evidence if we never specifically addressed it?
We could possibly provide more, just in looking at what we knew at the time of the last meeting. He was going to therapy. He had been started on medications, and he did receive a letter dated March 8th of this year saying that he was stable. I'm not sure beyond that what other mitigating circumstances exist, but I know of those. And I could ask him what more there is. I'm not sure what that would be, but I can find out and supply that information if that would be helpful.
I think there was some suggestion, Ms. Patain, of whether or not he pursued the employee assistance program. I never got that response. The HR department, because it was confidential to the HR department, they didn't have access to it when I subpoenaed the records. But if he did pursue that, that may be something that he might be willing to share, because I know when this first surfaced and he was experiencing an acute episode where he was not, doing well psychiatrically, they had recommended the employee assistance program. So I don't know if he pursued that or not.
I will find out.
Any other discussion?
I think the only thing I would add is it sounds like if there's a potential for additional evidence from Ms. Patain, it may be helpful to just re-agendize it as a continuation. I'll be clear. I don't think in my mind, I kind of agree with Mr. Greer. I think we made the right decision, but I'd like to be able to kind of concretize those mitigating factors that I think we were all considering and may not have explicitly listed.
Ms. Patain, do you know if Mr. Webster is currently working or?
Yes, he continues to work at Ortho Arizona.
Okay.
And that's where he is today, actually. So that's why he wasn't able to attend.
Thank you. So do we need to make a motion for this then?
Yeah. I believe so, yes.
I think it would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I would move that we table this item and re-agendize for next month, and that it be agendized as a continuation of the hearing from March, with the goal of identifying mitigating factors for addition into the consent agreement.
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay. I think we are ready for the question.
It's been moved and seconded to table this matter until the board's next meeting, where it will be reviewed again to continue the discussion regarding the proposed consent agreement. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
I vote yes too.
Did I pass you, Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Yes, that's okay.
Sorry. I had ESPN tuned in. That motion passes now unanimously. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, Ms. Patain, for being here, and the board will be in touch.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, so how's the recording, Judy? Do you need to redo it at this point?
No, we just started it right after.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind. I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're on to old business, 11B, cases 2131 and 2228, Stephen Kempton, PT. Mr. Kempton on the call.
I'll be turning off my camera and mic just so you guys know.
Thank you.
Mr. Leone is recused, yes. So at its March 26, 2024 meeting, the board reviewed Mr. Kempton's compliance with his consent agreement and request to modify the chaperone terms of his CA. The board approved the modification specific to accepting Ms. Kel Ryan as Mr. Kempton's chaperone upon successful completion of the medical chaperone training program offered by PBI Education. Ms. Ryan completed the CTP2 mandated course on March 28, 2024, and her certificate was supplied to the board. On April 9th, board staff received an email from affiliated monitors expressing concerns with the timeliness of records supplied by Mr. Kempton for monitoring review. The most recent monitoring report was received by the board on April 11th. In that report, the monitor summarizes concerns regarding evidence of overbilling and patient notes completed well after the dates of service. Mr. Kempton's most current monitoring and therapist report were included as attachments. This included a monitoring report dated April 11th, 2024, and a therapist report dated April 10th, 2024. The board's materials also included the compiled chronological memos and attachments from previous board meetings, as well as standalone copies of Mr. Kempton's executed consent agreement and a binder of meeting memos spanning June 27, 2023 through March 26, 2024. To ensure the board had a complete record of Mr. Kempton's compliance to date with the terms of his agreement, the updated table of terms was included for your review. This matter is for your review.
Great. So Mr. Kempton, were you supplied a copy of the affiliated monitor's email to us?
The email or the report? I wasn't aware of the email to you, no.
Okay. So, but you did get the report?
Yes.
All right. So can you tell us why it's taking you 10 days to get your notes done before you upload them to the monitor?
I am extremely anxious about doing notes, just worried about getting them done properly and getting them done. To the point where I'm on anxiety medication at this point, and so I'm just trying to do my best to get the notes done correctly. And so it stresses me out. I'm under a lot of stress and anxiety trying to get this filled out.
Are all of your notes 2 weeks behind?
Yeah.
I know that with WebPT, which is the format I think you're using, your billing is generated off of your completed notes, and you've been expressing some financial concerns. And, you know, if you can't bill, it's hard to collect your money. And so, you know, having your notes done would be a positive way to impact your finances.
I totally agree.
Has Cal begun to be your chaperone then?
Yes.
And that's going well, you feel?
Yes.
Mr. Kempton, are there PTAs working in your office?
No.
And so for your documentation, do you update the flowchart? How do the techs know what you did in the last session if there's no documentation for 2 weeks?
In the flowchart?
I mean, just period.
The exercise flowchart's filled out the day that they are there.
By you?
It's supervised by me. And so I'm not talking about the daily note. I'm talking about the exercise load chart.
Yeah, you seem to have, some very busy times. The monitor has reported that, you'll have up to 7 people come in within an hour's period of time. And it's you and a tech. And your chaperone. And so it's difficult as a practitioner to understand how you can remember, each individual client and then multiple visits over a period of time.
I can understand that. And the office, that week, if you look at the whole month, because I've gone through the whole month, and that day was the particular busy day out of the whole month. And so the schedule of that Monday, the 25th, is not an accurate depiction of my schedule. For some reason, I don't know why a lot of people scheduled on that day and why my front office scheduled it that busy, but it is not typically like that. And so it's not an accurate depiction of what my schedule is actually like. But yes, I do agree with you, Dr. Basile, that it is hard to remember specific.
It just seems that we have had a number of monitoring reports that have shown some schedule issues with numbers of patients coming in a brief period of time over the months that you have been monitored.
I think there's been 2, and it was with the first report, and so I made changes, and then there was, and then this last one, and so, but if you look at my schedule, there was just that one day, he didn't report it being busy on the 25th, the 27th, or the 28th. It was just that 25th. It was just the perfect storm. Okay. And so we honed in on that day.
I just feel like we're kind of back to, maybe not square one. You have made some improvements, but I feel like there's still some limited compliance with your consent agreement, and there has been spotty compliance for a year. And
can you be more specific in the limited or spotted compliance?
Well, I feel like if the monitor is concerned with your ability to get back to them in a timely manner and getting your notes, it has the appearance that you are maybe taking your time with these notes that you're uploading so that they're reasonable to review for the monitor. And, we don't really know that that's reflective of the rest of your practice.
I can understand that. That's would make sense that it seems like that. And that this is the first time that he's mentioned the timeliness and the time that he he had the schedule for about a week, and then he requested specific notes on like a Thursday afternoon, and my office staff, who is responsible for turning that in, was out of town and they couldn't get him in. And so he was messaging me like all weekends, like, I need you to get these in this weekend, get them in this weekend. I was like, dude, I am the person who's done all this, who knows how to do it, isn't available. And so it did take a little bit longer to get the notes back to him. And cause I did see that complaint, and I was like, well, and that's not normal. We've done 8 of these reports and he's never complained of that or had an issue with that. So. I do see that, you know, the timeliness of me getting my notes done, and I will 100% work on that and make sure and get those done a lot quicker and a lot more on time. And I will, make sure to continue to work on everything that, Dr. Bays tells me to do. But yeah, as far as the timeliness, it was hard because he requested them on like a Thursday night, and my office staff that did that was out of town until Monday.
If I'm hearing you correctly, Mr. Kimpton, it was the timeliness was hard because the notes weren't necessarily done and you needed to get them done before you had to submit them. And this might be the first time he's made mention of your timeliness, but it's not the first time he's made mention that records submitted to him look amended and have timestamps well after the date of service prior to coming to him, which,
right.
You know, looks like they were fixed. You know what I mean?
No, and it's just, well, that.
There's a,
Dr. King, I think that's a lot of that's making assumption. Although there were amendments, that does not mean I was fixing them to try to fix something. There's a lot of times where I do a note on the wrong date. There's a lot of times where there's information that was missed out that I have to add information that I forgot about or something like that. And so going on the assumption that I'm amending them to fix a note is an assumption. And nowhere did he mention that I was amending notes to fix something.
No, it just says amended. And I think it was a couple of months ago that 6 of the 10 he looked at had amended dates. So is that something you do frequently? Cause that's almost two thirds of them.
There's a lot of time, and 90% of it is because I have the wrong date on it and because of that. And so I have to go and make amendments. But if you remember, you asked me to really make sure and try hard not to make any amendments, and I have made amendments since.
Great.
Well, and so I double check every note that I do. I read over, make sure that the date is there. I have all the pertinent information, and then turn it in and then finalize it so I don't do an amendment.
Well, your February monitoring report was also showed lateness in getting the notes, and they didn't say anything about amendments with those.
Mr. Kipton, it seems like you're overwhelmed. Is that a fair statement to say?
That is a fair statement.
And I believe you're continuing to see a counselor. Is that correct? Monthly?
Yes.
Okay. And so it seems to me you're overwhelmed and the notes are not done in a timely fashion, and you're behind by 2 weeks. You need a break.
I don't know if that's a proper assessment of needing a break.
Okay. What do you feel would be ideal for you to not be overwhelmed?
Well, the counselor and I talk about things. The counselor and I talk about some personal things that I can do to help not feel overwhelmed. And so we discuss that because that's a big portion of what we talk about a lot of time.
Okay. And that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I seriously struggle with your total compliance with your consent agreement. And I just feel like from the beginning, there's just been delays and inconsistencies and problems all along. And there gets a little bit of improvement and then everything backslides, and a little bit of improvement and then we get some backsliding. And it's,
Madam Chair, this is one that, you know, I tend to focus on the positives. I think this affiliated monitor report is probably a backslide, but I think this is the first affiliated monitoring report that I'm really concerned. They've generally been very good, highlighting concerns, which if you put any practice under the microscope, I think you're going to come up with issues. But I tend to focus on the positive, at least with this licensee. I think we've come an enormous way from where we were last year. And, you know, I feel like the public is protected. I feel like Mr. Kempton's doing maybe not his best, or maybe pretty close to his best, to try to get everything and comply. So, you know, I don't know if there's anything to do here, but I'm not as disappointed with Mr. Kempton's progress as it sounds like some other members of the board are.
Well, to your point, none of us is perfect on any given day. I do think there has been progress. However, I feel like practice management and certainly the record keeping, the documentation of what's really happening is still concerning. And having multiple people come in at the same day and the same time makes things confusing. And so, you know, without having the privilege of seeing his schedule, it's hard to know if that is truly an anomaly for that, you know, couple of days, or if that's really a thing. So
I can't imagine trying to write a note on a patient that I saw 2 weeks ago, especially if I see 10 patients a day. I mean, it's just not possible to get it right. And so the risks he's taking are just significant in making, in the documentation being accurate, which is part of our practice act, is to make sure that it's accurate. So, I don't know. It's just, it's been a while, and I love that he's made progress. We were talking about going to every other month monitoring, just in another month. Look, I mean, I don't, what's it going to take to get us there? That's the question. How much more time do we need to have a practice that meets the standards? That's the question.
And Dr. King, I was thinking in response to Dr. Hike's question, what would make it life easier for Mr. Kempton? It would be getting this monitoring off his back, but unfortunately we can't do that today.
No, and we've been doing it for nine months.
As much as I understand that would be a real blessing to Mr. Kempton, we can't do that today, based on this report. And I know Mr. Kempton's going to do his best to try to get us in a position where we can be comfortable with reducing that, that burden, because I know it's a burden. It's a financial burden. It's a stressful burden. I understand it. And I wish we were in a position to say, hey, you've done a great job. We've got these wonderful reports. Hey, let's go to every other month. Let's go quarterly. But we can't do that right now. So I'm inclined to not do anything today. I don't know if we need a motion for that, Mr. Harris.
Perhaps a motion to take no action at this time.
That's what I'm inclined to do. I was kind of hoping when I saw it on the agenda that we'd be able to give Mr. Kempton some relief, because I am pleased with the progress he's made in the last year. But we can't do that today. So I'd move to take no action.
I'll second for discussion. I'm with you, Josh. I get it. It's been 9 months of monitoring. We should be there. We should be in a place where he's practicing per the standard. He's not a new grad. He's been in the practice a good long time. The monitor's been really clear about what needs to happen. And he makes progress in one area, but not in the other. And that's just not right practice. So maybe he needs to look at his practice. Maybe 10 patients an hour is not appropriate. It's not even safe. He can't even keep up with documentation. All I'm saying is that we see progress, but we should be there. We should be there by now. And we're not. So I just don't know what. I don't know. I don't know how much more support to give him or what. He's got himself in a situation where he's not meeting the standards. He's not fully. And the monitor keeps telling him that month after month. You've got a billing issue that's incorrect for a particular patient. You've got documents that aren't finished. This piece was missing from this piece of documentation. You've amended six of the 10 charts you sent me just 2 days before you sent them to me. So I don't know, just from a 1,000-foot view, I feel like we should be way closer to being able to pull back than we are right now. Mr. Kempton, are you working with your counselor on stress management, on time management, on things to help you be a healthier practitioner?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are they helping?
Yeah.
So do you feel like in the next month that you can bring yourself to doing your notes within 24 hours of seeing your people?
Yes. Yes, I can do that. It is April 22nd or 23rd, but yes. I can make sure and do that.
I can be willing to give you another month or so of checking it out. But I would agree with Dr. King that we are not close to helping you alleviate some of that financial burden yet with the monthly monitoring. I think we still have to see that there's some improvement with that. And I'm hopeful that if you can shorten that time frame down with doing your notes, that will help alleviate some of your anxiety of getting the workload completed.
Yeah, and to additionally, I think I understand the explanation, Mr. Kempton, and I don't think you're lying to us. I don't think you're doctoring the notes. I think it's all happening exactly how you said, but I keep daily records of my time too. And if I don't do it daily, at best, it's a guess. Mm-hmm. And so I understand Dr. King's concern. And there are a lot of lawyers who bill on a monthly basis. And I don't know how they do it. They must have phenomenal memories or they're just making stuff up. And that's our concern. Our concern is, hey, just looks bad. So I think that's all I have to say on this one.
Yeah. It seems like most facilities, and Dr. King would know this more than me, but, our practice standard of care and some of the other ones that I've heard, offer, 24 to 36 hours for completing your notes as standard of care. And so I really would like to see that that's becomes part of your realm of possibility.
that's pretty consistent.
Okay, so getting notes done in a timely fashion. I will make sure that that doesn't show up on the next report.
Maybe the next two.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Forever. I appreciate that.
I don't know if you, I don't know what you could do with the last couple of days. So I've just,
no, I'm
we're looking for improvement. That's what we're looking for.
Any further discussion? Okay. Judy, we have our motion.
We do. It's been moved and seconded to take no action at this time in case 2131 and 2228, Stephen Kempton, PT. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Good luck, Mr. Kempton. I hope you're able to work this out and make your notes much more timely so that, and I do think it will alleviate some of your stress load because you'll be able to get your billing out more efficiently as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, back to board business and reports.
And we are on item 12A, and I'm going to turn that over to Ms. Richardson.
Yeah, this is an item just for the board's information discussion. It's regarding an organization called SciFit. The board received information regarding a facility that will be opening soon in Chandler, Arizona. It's called SciFit. And on the website, a subtitle describes the facility as an Arizona Physical Rehabilitation Center. SciFit is defined on that website as spinal cord injury, functional integrated therapy. The information originally was provided to the board by a licensed physical therapist, and they expressed concern regarding the manner in which the services provided by the entity were being advertised to the public. So as with any concern that's expressed to us, I started to kind of look into it. And according to the website, the target population appears to be individuals with a wide range of neurological conditions. These include spinal cord and traumatic brain injury, transverse myelitis, multiple sclerosis, arachnoiditis, cerebral palsy, and Parkinson's. For individuals suffering an acute injury such as spinal cord, it doesn't appear that the website limits access to the program from the time of injury. So, for example, acute versus chronic. But a physician clearance to participate in the program is required. And the services that they offer are various forms of an intensive exercise activity program. I did speak briefly with the CEO of SciFit, and he states that they will not be offering physical therapy services at their Chandler location, and the participants will be billed directly for all of the services. So this information is just provided. We do not have a patient complaint. That facility is, as far as I know, is not open as yet. And I do believe that both the physical therapist that expressed the concern and also the attorney representing SciFit are available if you have any questions.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Leora Perkowski, the attorney for SciFit. I hope it's okay if I just introduce myself. I'm not sure how you folks go. I was going to try to raise my hand first. I forgot that part. Okay, I think Ms. Richardson explained it correctly, and I think the issue is from the physical therapist is probably just one of competition, that there's no physical therapy, but there's a real fine line between these types of facilities that are nationwide, I've seen. I'm not It's not like I have a bunch of clients that do this, but I did do some research. It's not, and I thought to myself, it's very much like situation between attorneys and paralegals. I mean, when the paralegals started taking away stuff that we thought our was business, you know, there was some animosity. But I think the lines have not been crossed. There's no physical therapy being offered, and I believe there's no reason for concern. That would be my input.
Okay. Thank you. I thought I saw Dr. Holm on the call too. Yeah. Is he still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I would disagree with the assessment that it is about competition. When I first welcomed SciFit to my facility so that they could introduce themselves and we could potentially work together. Then after doing research on their company from what they advertise online, yes, they don't specifically say the words physical therapy, but they offer on several instances on their site, they do offer, in quote, they do offer therapy and rehabilitation. And so that's confusing to the public. Additionally, from videos that they post on their Instagram site and on their website, they do offer other interventions that look very similar to physical therapy that require like the skill and training of a physical therapist, specifically gait training and the neuromuscular reeducation with the application of a modality NMES that they utilize. So they're utilizing modalities and interventions that have traditionally been traditionally been governed by a licensing board of physical therapists or some other form of rehab licensing board like occupational therapy or speech therapy. So in addition to that, their clientele that they advertise to not only include spinal cord injury, which has unique medical pathophysiological considerations that must be taken into consideration when prescribing exercise, but they also advertise to stroke, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, cerebral palsy. All of them have unique pathophysiology. And all of them have unique concerns related to the prescription of exercise and functional interventions related to those specific diagnoses. Spinal cord in and of itself, autonomic dysreflexia is a potentially life-threatening condition that must be recognized by someone that has experience and knowledge of that condition and know how to treat it and know how to address it. Additionally, there with the spinal cord population itself, there are concerns of orthostatic hypotension, reduced bone density, loss of sensation, the potential for orthopedic injuries with application of gait training that could arise from not properly bracing the ankle or knee or hip joints. So there are a myriad of considerations just with the spinal cord population itself. Then when you consider stroke and you consider the chronic health ailments that go along with stroke, including high blood pressure, arrhythmias, again, orthopedic concerns with hemiplegic shoulder, with not protecting the joint of the ankle or knee when gait training, those could create issues and pain or injury to clients or our population without oversight. So that would be, these are my concerns. And then I could go on and on for multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's and cerebral palsy.
Okay. Well, this is an informational session for the board and something that we can watch over time.
I have a question. Can I just speak up? If the website says they have to get the doctor's permission to engage in personal training or exercise programs that are offered there. Isn't that enough of an assurance? Doesn't that address some of your concerns that you might have?
I would say no, because if you look at any exercise program, even when signing up for EOS Fitness, they have a disclaimer on there that you need to have a doctor's note before starting a supervised exercise program. My thing is that we send our notes regularly to the physicians to be reviewed and to be assessed for authorization, or not for authorization, but for certification of our plan of care. And we have a licensing board that when we do mess up, they hold us accountable.
So I'm, Madam Chair, members of the board, I strongly encourage, you know, the two parties maybe get together and continue this conversation for purposes of this meeting and the agenda item. This was really, as Mindy indicated, just an FYI, to let the board know of this business entity, this business model. There's nothing really before you, at this point.
Right. Yes, thank you for clarifying that, but it would be nice. How do I get Mr. Jefferson's full name and contact information? Will that be made available to me?
Yeah, I have no problem making that available to you.
Okay.
You can email me at jholm@azneurorehab.com.
Wait, jholm?
At AZ. neurorehab.com.
Okay.
But I would disagree with the board that it doesn't require any further action. I would disagree because they're, in my estimate, they're using interventions that should be licensed by a therapist.
Right. It's not agendized for that, so there's nothing we can do at this time. You know, should there be a problem, then we can further look into it. But I do appreciate your concern.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, folks, for allowing me to speak up.
Thank you.
It might be worth agendizing at some point that the website does look somewhat misleading, using things like therapy and neuro rehab and things that you would typically, physical rehabilitation center that you would typically see on an outpatient neuro rehabilitation center with therapists. So I'm glad it came to our attention. It is a little bit interesting, could be misleading, I think, to the public.
Yeah, I think when you look at our specific language in our statute, which Mark and Judy and I reviewed, it isn't specifically excluded. I think you have to look at it in total. And I'm hoping that perhaps Dr. Holm and SciFit could perhaps work together to massage that language so that it creates less confusion to the public and the board doesn't necessarily have to be involved in that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, having been a neurotherapist for a very, very long time, these programs are really helpful for our patients. They are, but it just can't be that a patient thinks they're getting physical therapy, because that is not the case.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I guess we can move on here to more of Judy's reports for the March financials.
Uh-huh, yes. Thank you. I froze for a moment trying to remember where we were. Okay, so your packet included March financials. I anticipate, due to very recent information that came from the governor's office, that there might be a little bit more discussion next month when it's agendized properly. But the financials have been provided to you, and I am happy to answer any questions that you have about them. Okay. Hearing none. I believe we can move on to the next item then, which is the licenses, certificates, and registrations that were granted in the month of March. Any questions about that? We do have a April. We do have an April exam. The PTAs finished their exam just recently, and the PTs are yet to come. So we anticipate a spike in more jurisprudence exams and then a spike coming forward in terms of finalization of applications and licensure. So we have also, with the Centia system now, gotten the interstate telehealth registrations away from paper and are now into Centia. And so we have, in April, we've been moving some of those through as well. So updates to come next month, as usual. Questions about any of the, licensing, registrations, certifications? Okay. Then we're at future agenda items.
I was going to mention that I'd be happy to do a very brief presentation on the some of the work we're doing on the informed consent task force at the FSDPT. I spent 3 days there this weekend, and so there's more work to come, but I'd love to just kind of give the board an update on where we're at, what we're working on.
That would be great. I'd love to hear that.
Sure.
I don't know if we, if Mr. Kempton is still agendized for May, but I would like to have his reports on the agenda for May as well.
Perfect. Anything else?
Do you know when we'll get some information about where the rules review committee is and how they're doing? And
in fact, that's going to be agendized for May as well.
Perfect.
The other thing I think it would be, I don't know if we need to agendize this, but given the number of issues we've had with the compact, I wonder if it would be helpful to add a FAQ to our website, kind of explaining what we talked about today, which is like the proper process for migrating from a compact license to a resident license here in Arizona. So if we need to agendize that, great. Otherwise, we could just instruct the board. I think that might be helpful and maybe limit the number of times we have to have that discussion.
Is that something in terms of a policy statement that you're thinking?
Well, I think it sounds to me like the process is established. I don't know that we need a policy statement. I think maybe like a how-to instruction, because the impression that I have gotten the last couple of meetings is that there's a lot of folks who go to sign up for a Arizona state license while previously holding a compact and go, I don't know what to do. And then they make a lot of unfortunate choices. And I'm wondering if maybe if we had an explanation that just said, all right, here's your, you know, here's the step-by-step process. You need to do that. You need to surrender the compact. You need to seek an endorsement, whatever you need to do. I don't know that I'm even clear on what the order is. That may be helpful.
Yeah, there are different pathways. And we can certainly agendize that for a discussion. I am without him saying it, I recognize that Mr. Harris is about to tell me that we need to agendize this for a discussion.
Before we discuss it.
Before I explain that.
And I suspected that may have been the case, and if it is, I get it.
Okay. Okay, certainly. I can, we can agendize that and we can discuss it at length.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it.
I know more than any human alive should know about compact privileges, but.
We just have to put it on paper.
There we go. Actually, I shouldn't say that. There are compact administrators who I call from time to time. So anything else for future agenda items?
We can have a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. The meeting is adjourned at 12:29. The recording is also going to stop at 12:29.
Thank you.